الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا، سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Some of you would be knowing that both of us, me and my wife, are in the stage of moving out, and we are shifting from one apartment to another. And in this whole moving out process, there are a couple of things which came to my mind and which I want to talk about today. Now, if you have had some experience in changing apartments in the US, you'll know that it's a very drawn out process, the entire moving out. You have to move out in phases. So that's what we did, as in we moved out in phases. We took our big furniture in one drive, and then planned on taking the other, whatever is remaining, in the second go. So it so happened that you reach a point in this stage where in the old apartment you have almost nothing, and that place is almost empty. You say hello and the walls will reply back to you and say hello. So it's that type of empty. Just white walls, carpet, that's it. And everything else, whatever you had, is all gone. So, in such a situation, one is reminded actually of the reality of this fleeting existence of life. That nothing which you possess will go with you. That's the fundamental message, that's the fundamental crux of our deen. That whatever you have, nothing will go with you in the grave. All the extras, all the add-ons, everything is taken away with you. You're stripped off to your bare, stripped off to your minimum. Whatever you have inside of you is what you have. And anything and everything which is outside of you, everything will be gone. And in fact, I was struck with the reality of this one particular hadith, in which Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi has laid down a beautiful, it's a very profound hadith, in which Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu has laid down the haqiqat of this world, told us the haqiqat, the reality of this, what this world is. So Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu mentioned that everything in this world is accursed, lanat. That's the word, the Arabic or the Urdu word which has been used in this hadith. And lanat here doesn't mean that curse curse as in like the way we talk about curse, but when we use this word in the Islamic tradition, lanat means that something which is devoid of the blessings, something which is devoid of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that something which has been picked up and placed outside the folds of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is what we call la'na, or accursed. So everything in this world is accursed except for three things. Number one is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that zikr which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, righteous scholars. And third, the seekers of knowledge, talib-e-ilm. So here, as in this hadith, it doesn't mean that this world and whatever is inside of this world is really accursed. But what it in fact means is that such things of the world are accursed, which make a person negligent or heedless of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anything which takes a person away from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his la'anat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picks that thing and removes that thing away from the folds of his mercy. And the second thing which this hadith emphasizes, apart from zikr, is the importance of gaining knowledge. to know that such and such work will be a source of winning the pleasure, the radha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and such and such an act will incur his displeasure, will incur his ghussa, will incur his wrath. This is the reason the teacher and the learner, the ulama and the talib-e-ilm, they have been excluded from this curse. So in one sense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down very clearly that this dunya, which is fleeting in its essence, but there is something about this dunya, there are some things in this dunya, some aspects of this dunya which are not fleeting, which are not temporary, which are not worthless, which are not valueless, but which have a rank in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which have some sense of nobility, some value, some price associated with them. Something which will persist and will be of real benefit to us in the Akhirah. And that is what this hadith teaches us, that there are two things, ilm and zikr. Ilm, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of deen, and zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, everything in this world is built according to specifications. If you just look at a very mundane thing like a car, so even cars, they're programmed and built according to specifications. For instance, you have the engine, and the engine can only be filled up with oil. You can't pour water in it, you can't pour gas in it, gasoline, that's oil, but you can't pour anything else apart from gasoline, oil, water, air, nothing else will do. Then you have the tires, they require air. So you can't put oil in the tires. For the smooth running of the car, we need to pay heed to the manufacturer's specification, to the factory settings. So just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also built and programmed our body. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, in His infinite wisdom, in His infinite mercy and rahmah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each one of us two important and two very special organs. Very special organs. The first thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is a highly overcharged akal, and highly overcharged mind, which thinks different thoughts, which processes different thoughts tirelessly, day in and day out. This brain, this mind, it's working. And the second organ which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to each one of us is a very delicate and a sensitive heart, which never stops beating. We should think of them as two utensils. We have this word in Urdu, bartan. These are two kitchen utensils. Two bartan, two containers, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to every one of us. And really, if you want to understand the goal of our life, the purpose is to fill these utensils up. But the question is really, as in, what do you fill these utensils up with? And if a person can understand the answer to this question, you can really understand the khulasa of our deen. You can understand the summary of our deen. One sentence will be enough to understand the whole of our purpose, the whole of our existence, the summary of our entire deen. And that is that the whole goal is to fill our akal, or our mind, or our brain, to fill that with the noor of ilm-e-deen. And to fill our heart with the noor of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the noor of muhabbah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the noor of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that when on the day of judgment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His malaika, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His angels, that go look into this person, go look in deep inside that person, and tell me what you find. And the angels will come to us, and when they peer into our akal, when they peer into our mind, they should find nothing except for ilm-e-deen. Nothing except for the noor of knowledge of deen. Noor of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, noor of the sunnah. They find our mind completely illuminated with this deen. And when they go and gaze into our heart, then they scrutinize our heart and they find nothing except for the noor of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ma'iyat, the companionship, the close feeling with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. their feelings of intimacy and nearness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these two organs. In fact, that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in the first place. That is our maqsad of hayat. That is why me and you exist on this world. Really, that is the only reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. That we fill ourselves up in such a manner that our mind is completely filled with the nur of deen, ilm-e-deen, and our hearts are completely filled with the ishq-e-ilahi, the true intense love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, this world, sometimes we mention to you, this world has no value. It's completely useless, completely valueless. But that is true in one sense. But another way, this world also has incredible value. Why? Because it's an incredible opportunity for us to fulfill this maqsad which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained upon us. And what is this maqsad? This is the maqsad. To get the ilm-e-deen and to get this nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's muhabbat into our heart. This is what this hadith means. In fact, another way you can understand this hadith is that in this worldly life which we are living in, when we feel attracted towards someone else, when you want to draw yourself closer to someone else, you want to come close to that someone, you want to win over that person's heart, so there are two ways we go about such a situation. To try to win that person's acceptance, try to win that person's favor, try to win that person's closeness and ma'iyat and muhabba. And the first way is that you start your detective work. You start your detective work, you try to find out what is that person, who is that person, what are the attributes which that person likes, what are those things which are pleasing to her, what are those things which are not pleasing to her. What are her likes, what are her dislikes? Everything about her you try to find out. You try to gain, try to acquire that knowledge. And that is really as in one aspect of our relationship with this world and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That know that we can have many beloveds in this world, many loves in this world. You can have many true loves in this world. You can have many primary loves in this world. You can have many secondary loves in this world. But the only true love and the only real love is the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are leading a life trying to win over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trying to win Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trying to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trying to gain the acceptance and the radha and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first way to get all of this is to know more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the knowledge of deen. This is the knowledge of ilm-e-deen. That what is pleasing to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is displeasing to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I am to acquire that knowledge. What is halal in my deen? What is haram in my deen? Get that knowledge. Because halal attracts the mercy and the barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Haram sucks away the mercy and barakah from any action. The halal and haram, jais and najais, those things which are permissible and impermissible, paak and napaak, those things which are pure and those things which are impure, all of these things are included in the category of knowing and acquiring the ilm-e-deen, acquiring that knowledge which is beneficial for us to know more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know more about Him. Sometimes this hadith, many people, they misunderstand this hadith, that this hadith mentions the word ilm. So ilm here, okay, you can translate that as knowledge. But this knowledge, it's not something which an all-inclusive category which includes your engineering, which includes your sciences. No, this is something, even if you just ponder upon the words of the hadith Mubarakah, the words are indicating, they're giving an ishara, that this is that ilm, that ilm-e-deen, which pertains to those things which bring you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which brings you to gain that pleasure and the radha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is that halal, haram, jais, najais, paki, napaki, right? Those things which permissible, the lawful, unlawful, permissible, impermissible, pure, impure. This is what this hadith is talking about, to get that ilm-e-deen. This is a very ilm in our tradition. It's a very profound, very sacred concept for us. And some of the things, as you might have And what we'll just mention now, some of these things we might have mentioned before in one of our talks, in one of our retreats, but it's so important for us to know what this concept of ilm is, that we need to remind ourselves, because the, you know, as in the world in which we are living in, the world which we are interacting with, it is a very secular world, where everything and anything which is divine is just sucked away. Even our education system, our universities, all our schooling, we have gone through that system. And for the vast majority of Muslims, we are distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because we are distant from the deen of Islam. That knowledge of Islam, we are distant from that. That is why we are distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And unless we develop that ilmi understanding of the deen of Islam, we will not be attracted to the deen of Islam. Why? Because there's always going to be a gap, a certain level of sophistication in our thinking when we think about the matters of the dunya, when we think about our sciences, when we think about our career, when we think about our medicines, when we think about anything which pertains to the dunya. We have that particular level of sophistication, particular level of thinking. We're thinking high. But when it comes to deen, we completely lack that sophistication. Why? Because we completely lack that knowledge, among other factors. There are other things also which are lacking in our deen. But this is a very fundamental gap in our system, that we don't have that knowledge, we don't have that awareness to know that what are those things which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes this is deliberate, and sometimes it's just the way we are living. It's just the way we are living in. So by deliberate, sometimes you see these different educational institutions and educational systems which are deliberately designed to create this gap, to expand this gap, to make sure that this gap is never bridged. And then that person, in one sense, he is an orphan. He has orphaned himself from that intellectual Islamic tradition, that dini tradition, that ilmi tradition. So for us, this is very tragic. That we as Muslims, we as the Ummah, we as the Ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah, we are supposed to be the greatest intellectual academic tradition ever to exist on earth. All the more tragic for us that we orphan ourselves from this ilmi tradition of our deen, and we take over some other radically different understanding of ilm, or some radically different understanding of knowledge. And in our deen, this ilm is a very profound, very robust understanding of ilm, which our deen has provided us. There's so many ahadith which mention the virtues and merits of ilm. Khair, that can be another topic for another time, but I'll just give you a few. That Sayyidina Rasulullah has mentioned about that talib, that sincere seeker of knowledge for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that man kana fi talibul ilmi, that person who seeks knowledge, then Jannat is seeking that person. That if you become the talib of the ilm of deen, then it's as if you become a talib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Jannat becomes your matlub, then Jannat becomes your talib, then Jannat is seeking you. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Such a big fazilat, such a big virtue of acquiring ilm in our deen. In other hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah mentioned that the person who leaves their home to acquire the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether they do so daily for 3 hours, whether they do so weekly for 3 hours, whether they leave home and make hijrat for years, they are fi sabilillah, they are on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until they return. Hatta yurja. So, alhamdulillah, in Islam, in our deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a much, much more profound understanding of ilm. There's a completely, totally way of understanding what a student is in our Islamic tradition. And that is why Sayyidina Rasulullah said, you must seek ilm from the mahad to the grail, to the grave, from the cradle to the grave. It's a lifelong journey. We can never ever dissociate ourselves from this identity of being a seeker of knowledge, of being a talib. And never would we want to dissociate ourselves from this. Never do we want to lose that fazilat, lose that virtue, that incredible merit of being a talib, a student and seeker of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is this ilm? What does it mean actually to become a true student, become true in our knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And there's a very beautiful Quranic ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down what it means to be a person of knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in that ayah that إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى, that only those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى, that only those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from amongst His servants, they are the ulama. That the ulama, if you want to translate this backwards, that the people of knowledge, that the ulama, that the scholars, who are they? They are not graduates of a particular course. They are not graduates of a particular institute. They are not students of a particular institute. They are not possessors of a particular amount of knowledge or information. No. Their Quranic definition is Yakshallah. There are people who have the most fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are people who have the most khashiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is that fear which draws from knowing the awe, the maqam, the majesty, the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not that fear which you go and you're scared of a scorpion, you're scared of a cockroach, you're scared of a lizard. No, no. This is that fear which derives from the awe, the might, the majesty, the azmat, the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when a person truly knows who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, when a person truly knows how completely dependent he is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how completely dominating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on him or her in every single aspect of his life, in every little thing of his existence, then he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has that awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. And that is when a person has true knowledge, true ilm. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi once said, it's written in one of his books, that an alim is that person who knows most what the effect of sins are. An alim is that person who knows the effects of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how it harms him. How disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a gap between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How vulgar those disobediences are in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How tragic and how harmful and how dangerous that disobedience is for his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person has that awareness, that knowledge, then a person is a true alim. Then that person is a true seeker of knowledge. That is the definition of ilm in our deen. That ilm opens up to you doors where you can differentiate that this route or this door is harmful for me and opening this door is beneficial for me. If I go in that gathering, this will take me towards sin, so I should keep myself away from such a gathering. Why? Because this will create a gap between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will create a gap between me and that being who has said in Quran that he is near to me. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared his closeness, his nearness to us in Quran, in his speech. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech is haq. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْكِيلَ. That who is more trustworthy, truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near to us. That being who said that I'm intimately close to you, that is an alim who knows the gap that is created when we leave revelation, that gap between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we leave Quran, when we leave Sunnah. And the second word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is used in this ayah is abd. That know that min ibadihil ulama, that the ulama will be from amongst the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibad means that you are a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when he sees how incredibly devastating it is to leave Quran and Sunnah and Sharia, he has that fear, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he doesn't want to lose his beloved. Every lover has one fear that overrides any and all other fears that they may have. And that is that my beloved won't love me back. That is who the ulama are. They are first and foremost the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first requisite is that we have to make ourselves amongst the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those of you who are students at our institute or at some other institute or have made this niyyah that they want to acquire knowledge, this is the ayah for us. That those of you who are studying Arabic, this is the first and foremost, those of you studying ilm-e-deen, this is the first and foremost ibadah for us, ayah for us, that we need to become amongst the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This min is for tabyiziyah, for people who are learning Arabic. Tabyiziyah comes to denote that this category of ulama will be from amongst the ibad. It's a subset. Ulama will then be those people who are fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the real purpose of studying in whether an online institute or whether in a Darul Uloom is to become an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become a sincere servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we really need to see is this, that are we becoming an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this knowledge, what we are gaining, what we are acquiring, is it helping me to become that abd, that servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what does it mean to become an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's also there in Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran al-Kareem, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that He has not created you, nor He has not created jinn, He hasn't created humanity, except that they may worship Him. So the purpose of life is to view ourselves as abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. To have humility of a slave, to talk like a slave, to walk like a slave, to think like a slave, to act like a slave. This is called ubudiyah. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi has said that ubudiyah, the servanthood, this is the highest maqam a person can get. The greatest love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest love is to be the perfect slave and servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, this is also the greatest sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In our salah we say this, that ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. We testify that the beloved Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that first and foremost that Ya Allah, He is your abd. That first and foremost He is your slave, and then He is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So none of us can aspire to Risala, but all of us should aspire to become the abd of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To become the abd the way Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an abd. To make dua like that, that Ya Allah, make us your servants as Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was your servant. Make our salah like his salah. Make our dua like his dua. Make our heart like his heart. This is the purpose of knowledge. To do amal. One of our great ulama of our previous generations, a true mufti, a true faqih, a big legal scholar by the name of Mufti Muhammad Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, he was asked by his students that what is the definition of knowledge. So Mufti Muhammad Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, he asked the students, "Aap batayein, what do you think is the definition of knowledge?" So one of them replied that, "Oh, it means marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have that intimate knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." One of them replied that it means to have idraq, or to assess, or to assert, ascertain something. Someone replied that it means to have tafakkur, to have that deep understanding of deen. So Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, he was just quiet. He was listening to different answers. So then one of them, he said that, "Oh Hazrat, why don't you tell us yourself what the definition of knowledge is?" So he gave an incredible definition of ilm. And this is the standard to which all students and teachers of knowledge, they should check themselves. And he said that ilm is that knowledge, ilm is that light, that when it enters the heart of a believer, it demands that it be practiced upon. The ilm is that knowledge, is that light, that when it enters the heart of a believer, it demands that it has to be practiced upon. That is the definition of ilm nafi. And there is a big difference between this definition of ilm and what we sometimes get as ma'lumat or information. Knowledge is different from information. Ma'lumat versus ilm. Zameen asman ka farak hai. You can have a lot of information. You can have a lot of ma'lumat. But knowledge is that noor, it's that light, that when it enters the heart of a believer, it demands that you have to practice it. If we want to call ourselves talib-e-ilm, seekers of knowledge, that means that we are seekers of that light, we are seekers of that knowledge, we are seeking that practice, we are seeking that ubudiyah, we are seeking that slavehood and that servanthood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what we are seeking. Mashaikh used to mention that al-ilmu bila amalin wabalun, that knowledge without practice is wabal. It has no benefit to you. In fact, it becomes a burden for you. And then wal amalu bila ilmin dalalun, and know that knowledge and if you practice without knowledge, wal amalu, if you have some amal without ilm, that is dalal, that is misguidance. It leads you astray. So knowledge is, getting knowledge, acquiring knowledge is one step, and second step is to do amal on that knowledge. Hazrat Sufyan Sauri Rahmatullahi was a big mashayikh of our ummah. He said that if a talib-e-ilm is sincere in his intention, then there is nothing better than him on the face of this earth. Allahu Akbar, such a big statement to make. That if a person has the right intention in acquiring knowledge, which is that I want to acquire knowledge solely for the sake of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is nothing better than him on the face of this earth. That used to be our approach of the Salaf Salihin. In fact, you pick up anyone from amongst our traditions, from amongst the righteous Salaf Salihin, the Islamic ilmi tradition, and you'll see that their approach to knowledge was that one, they wanted to acquire that ilm, and then they wanted to do amal on everything they learned. Everything. They used to run, used to chase after amal. They used to be chasing amal. So much so that they used to ponder that how can we do amal on the huruf-e-muqatta'at which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran, the alif, la, meem, and ha, meem, and yasin. How can we do amal on that? There's so many stories of our mashayikh which these stories just leap off from the pages to show their amal, to show their tarab, to show their ikhlas which these people had. They just didn't stop themselves at the surface level of acquiring knowledge. He used to go deep. We have to practice, we have to gain that sincerity, that ikhlas in our knowledge. So that should be our niyat also, our intention also in studying, that we should be only seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the moment we enter to the moment we leave, and even after that, our niyat during our entire life should be that, Ya Allah, we are only acquiring knowledge so that we can seek your pleasure, so that we can seek you, so that we can come to know you, we can come draw ourselves close to you, we can know you. These are the three things: ilm, amal, and ikhlas. Ilm is that knowledge, once again, that is contained in these books. Alhamdulillah, every student who goes to Darul Uloom, who is studying at some institute, Islamic institute, they get that learning. They get that basic knowledge, that core knowledge of halal, haram, lawful, unlawful, permissible, impermissible, pure, impure. They get that knowledge. But second step is amal. We need to become people who practice upon that knowledge. And ikhlas means sincerity. that what you are doing, that everything which we are doing is to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now really the question is, how do we get these things? You can get the ilm from institutes in Darul Uloom. How do you get amal? How do you get ikhlas? Ilm to mil jata, you study hard, you're doing takrar, you're practicing, you're quizzing each other. You're quizzing each other, you're giving your assignments, you're giving your tests, you're doing memorization. All of that, that's part of ilm. All of that we have to do. The mutala, our preparation before class, your revision after class. But the real question is that how can you get amal into your heart? Now, well, for each and everything, what we have to do is we have to go back, we have to look at our Salaf Salihin, the big scholars, the big people of ilm. How did they make themselves people of amal? So the way they used to make themselves people of amal was that they learned another science. That is what we call tazkiyah, the science of purifying ourselves, the science of purifying our heart. And this is something which our elders have done from the way beginning. They used to go and learn this science. This is the science of zikr. You remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you purify your heart. You get that qalb-e saleem which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That on that day nothing will be benefited to that person except that qalb-e saleem, that pure heart. Why? Because there's only, just go back to that example of a bartan, that utensil, that if you have an impure utensil, no one wants to pour milk in that utensil. No one. You go, right? So we also have impure hearts and impure mind. We need to purify our heart. We need to purify our mind. And this entire process of purification, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used this word in Quran as tazkiyah. And we need to do this tazkiyah of our mind. We need to do this tazkiyah of our heart. We need to do tazkiyah of our emotions, of our feelings, of our limbs. We need to do this deep cleaning, intense, profound cleaning of our existence. And then once we do this, once we bring this tazkiyah along with our ilm, then we'll see the barakah of that ilm. We'll see the nur and the light of that ilm. It will permeate within ourselves. Each and every atom of our existence, of our body, will be permeated with this nur of ilm. That is what our goal is. And that is what we can achieve through linking this ilm with zikr. Linking this ilm-e-deen with tazkiyah of ourselves, of trying to use ilm to reform ourselves. And that is what the tradition of our mashayikh and our ulama, and you go way back, you pick up anyone's life and see this. This ilm and zikr, they used to go hand in hand. It's mentioned by Hazrat Sufyan Sauri rahmatullah alayh, that used to go keep the company of Abu Hashim, Sufi rahmatullah alayh. And he said that if I hadn't spent my time in the company of that shaykh trying to learn the science of purification of my heart, then I wouldn't have learned the details, the fine intricacies of riya. That this riya means to display, to show off, to do something for the sake of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Ostentation. So he said that my entire life I would have been caught up in this riya, in this sin of riya. It's only when I learned this science, when I went and learned this act of the science of purifying my heart, then these details and intricacies opened up in front of me. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, it's a very famous saying which is narrated about him. He said that if I hadn't spent 2 years of my life in the company of Noman learning the science of tazkiyah, then I would have been destroyed. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah was also a big giant of this ummah. Once one of his students asked him that, "Oh Imam, you are such a big scholar of tafsir, you are such a big scholar of hadith, you are such a big scholar of law and legal jurisprudence, why do you go sit in the company of that person who is a ghair alim? What do you get from sitting in that person?" And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal used to go sit in the company of another person by the name of Bashir Hafi rahmatullah alayh. So the students asked him that, "Why do you go sit in the company of that person?" So he said, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh said that, "Oh my students, I am alim bi kitabillah, that I am a scholar of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he is alim billah. He is that person who truly knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. He knows the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has the deep knowledge and understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, I go sit at his feet to get this sign of this purification of my heart done, to get those feelings, the true feelings which are mentioned in Quran, to get the haqiqat of sabr into my heart, to get the haqiqat, the reality of shukr into my heart, to get the haqiqat of tawakkul into my heart. These are the stories of the early generations. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi was amongst the tabi'een. Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi, he was also amongst the tabi'een. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, he was amongst the tabi'e tabi'een. And all of you know, if you go back to the Sahaba Ikram, they were the ultimate role models for us, the ultimate examples. They learned the science of tazkiyah from the very first teacher, from the very first muzakki hakiki, Sayyidina Rasulullah. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, that the four functions of prophethood, four functions of nabuwa, yatlu alayhim ayatihi, that is number one, to teach and to recite unto them the verses of Quran. But the second verse, the second function, wa yuzakkihim, to do their tazkiyah. And then wa yuallimuhumul kitaba wal hikmah, to teach them book and to teach them hikmah. So number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed this, yuzakkihim, that one of the functions of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to purify the Sahaba ikram, to leave behind teachings by which Muslims after Sahaba ikram will be able to do their own purification, will be able to do their own tazkiyah. This is that tradition of purifying which has continued. Just like the tradition of the outer sciences of our deen, of Sharia, they have continued till this very day. We have the tradition, we have this stream of tafsir, we have streams of hadith, we have streams of fiqh and law. Just like that, we have this other stream, which is tazkiyah, which is the inner sciences. Those also have been preserved. The sunnah state of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnah kefiyat of the hearts of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the purpose, one of the functions of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to do the tazkiyah of the sahaba ikram. And that is why we want that ilm. The biggest reason we want that ilm is this. I want the ilm because I want to reform myself. I want to purify my heart. I want to do islah of myself. I want to learn that light that is pleasing to you, Ya Allah. Ham khali ilm, we are not getting ilm for the sake of ilm and that's it. No. We are getting ilm to make this change into our life. For our own self-rectification. That is the maqsad of getting this ilm. That is the type of ilm that we want. In fact, you see, as in our institute and whatever, that's our mizaj also. That we ourselves and we want our students also to chase this ilm, to get this ilm. This ilm which reforms ourselves. This ilm which purifies our heart. This ilm which is the students also to chase this ilm, to get this ilm. This ilm which reforms ourselves. This ilm which purifies our heart, this ilm which is the lost legacy which is the golden tradition, which is the lost legacy, this legacy of islah, this legacy of tazkiyah, this legacy of tarbiyah. That is our niyat in coming, that is our niyat in studying, that is our niyat in teaching, that is our niyat in living by the sacred and golden tradition of knowledge in the deen of Islam. Our ulama, they used to have the relationship of learning ilm and zikr. They used to go deep in ilm, and they also used to go deep in tazkiyah, in purifying themselves of all the blameworthy attributes, whether it be hasad, whether it be kibr, whether it be arrogance, whether it be lust, whether it be excessive love for this dunya, all of those unlawful, impermissible emotions, feelings, loves, they wanted to purify themselves of it, rid themselves of it. So we're not just, and then another, not just going to get amal on their ilm and ikhlas. We don't just want to get amal, we want to get ilm, we want to get amal, we want to get ikhlas. But in fact, there's something even beyond that, something even more special, which we need to get, and that is we need to experience Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's closeness also. Just go back to that example, that when you want to win someone over, one way is you try to know that person's likes and dislikes and know about that person, what pleases that person, what displeases that person. But there's also a further step that you really want to experience that qurb of that Zat. You want to experience that closeness and nearness. You want to sit with her, you want to be with her. It's dunya, we see that in dunyavi loves also, right? We're chasing that qurb and closeness. So that is also what we need to get, to experience Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's closeness as nearness, to make that relationship one-on-one. And that is what the zikr gives us. That is what tazkiyah gives us. That is what, go back to the hadith, that everything in this world is accursed except for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must make and we must practice in trying to make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Trying to disconnect ourselves from everything else. We must make practice in trying to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very important. The people who are already students, people who are already studying, we need to spend now time in zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take time out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكْ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. Then remember the name of your Lord and lose yourself. Lose yourself so deeply in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, so deeply in the remembrance of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِسْمَ رَبِّكْ. And then وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. Attach your thoughts exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the exclusion of all others, to the exclusion of everything else. That's what this verse means. That's what this word tabattul means. This is something which we cannot do 24 hours a day, because we live in this world, you have to work in this world, you have to study in this world. You cannot forget everything 24 hours a day. But at least for some portion of our day, 20-30 minutes a day, we should take time out and say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I want to enter this zone. You have this terminology in English, that I entered the zone. What does that mean? When a person enters the zone, they become what we call in deen as fana. Fana means that they become completely lost. They become so absorbed in something that they become oblivious to everything else. And for a few minutes every day, we should also be like that. Then we should be able to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so deeply, so robustly, that we become lost in our thoughts for Him, so much so that we become oblivious to everything else. We forget everything else in this world. That is the real escape. Movies, they are not an escape. This is an escape, to connect yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Arabic word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is used for this in Quran is tabattul. Another word which is used for this in the Arabic language is fana, to lose yourself in Him. That's what's supposed to happen when you pray. That's what's supposed to happen every time you go to sajda. Every time you go in sajda, that's what's supposed to happen to us. Every time you enter the masjid, that's what's supposed to happen to us. That you forget the entire world. You sit in the masjid and you disconnect yourself from the entire world. Sometimes there are places, there are some gatherings, there are some people. You go sit in their company and you'll feel that disconnect. You can forget everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this deen in such a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these different things, different tools by which we can disconnect. Wuzu, the purpose of wuzu is to disconnect. When you enter the masjid reciting that dua, that is to disconnect. You sit on the musalla and you make zikr, that is to disconnect. And how the purpose of, what a big tragedy is it is that me and you, we disconnect, we leave our world, we come to the masjid, me and you, we disconnect, we make wudu, we enter the masjid, we do all of that. We do takbir-e-tahreema, we disconnect, we don't speak to anyone, we disconnect, we don't talk to anyone, we disconnect, we don't respond to anyone, right? But then our hearts, in our heart, we fail to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How tragic. That the only reason we are disconnecting was to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should try to practice this. Because as we say in English, practice makes a man perfect. So if you are not being able to do something, keep working at it. Keep practicing at it. Keep practicing your salah, keep practicing your zikr. You must practice. You must practice and try to disconnect with everything else, and you must practice and try to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is that zikr. And sometimes people take this zikr lightly. It's just something, it's just 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes a day. All you have to do is sit for 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes with this niyat that you are doing amal on this verse of Quran. وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَدِيلًا. I'm disconnecting from everything in the world and I'm connecting, Ya Allah, exclusively to you. And if you keep doing this for 5 days, 10 days, 15 days, 30 days, sooner or later, you'll have a breakthrough. You'll have a moment of connection. You'll have that moment when you are oblivious to all the world and you connect yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll have that moment, in other words, where you can experience the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. And when a person experiences that feeling of qurb with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar Kabira. That is that feeling. Nothing can match that feeling. There is no replacement for that. It'll be as if you'll be possessed by the true possessor. It'll be as if you'll belong to where you truly belong. Nothing can... That is vilayat. That is becoming the true intimate friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the biggest benefit of achieving this moment, and this is something we often talk about to our students who are going to universities, and even people who are outside of universities now. There's so much fitna anywhere you go, that people are doubting their iman. People are questioning their iman. People are questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People don't have that firm iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such wavering iman. Flimsy iman. So the biggest benefit of achieving this moment is that you will get yaqeen in your iman. You will get conviction in your iman. Because you will have experienced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't be something to you. He won't be an abstract entity to you. He won't be a being your parents told you that you should believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't be something that you read about in a book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be something you'll experience in that moment. Your heart will have experienced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once you have that experience, you reach yaqeen. Ilmul yaqeen. Aynul yaqeen. Haqqul yaqeen. Absolute certainty. Nobody can shake your belief now. Nobody could ever suggest to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't exist. Because you've experienced Him with your own heart. Now if you think about that, me and you, we need that incredibly. Because we live in an age of fitna. We live in an age of false ideologies. We live in an age of false philosophies that are constantly trying to take away our very iman. We are so absorbed in sins that those sins are numbing our iman. That those sins are dulling our iman. That those sins are keeping us distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person keeps sinning, and due to their sins they're not able to feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is that fitna. The fitna of ideology comes in and takes him out of his deen. So a person then feels and experiences a crisis of faith. A person experiences a moment of skepticism. Person begins to have doubts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doubts about Quran, doubts about Sayyidina Rasulullah. And the answer to this is not some intellectual crusade, although we do that in our classroom sometimes, karna padta, we have to do that, do it. But the real answer to this lies over here, to connect our hearts back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To take away the dullness and the numbness that we have allowed to come into our hearts. That heart that has tasted the sweetness of the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will never doubt Him again. No way. Impossible. I'll give you a baby example. Once you have tasted the sweetness of a mango, just once, once, just once in your life, वो क्या होते हैं अनवरटोल और whatever mango which you like, सिंदरी, लंगड़ा. Nobody, once you taste that mango, फिर nobody can make you doubt whether that mango is sweet or not. Because you have tasted that mango. Mango is sweet. You experienced its sweetness yourself. Now nothing in the world can shake your conviction in the sweetness of that mango. Just like that, when you experience the sweetness of Iman, this is sometimes explained to you. This is what Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW explained to us in Hadith. Al-Halawatul Iman. This is what Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah has gathered many Ahadith, and he has made a whole chapter in his book and called that chapter Babun Fi Halawatul Iman. That the chapter on the Ahadith which describe the sweetness of Iman, which describe the sweetness of faith. And that sweetness of faith can only come through zikr. Only through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that sweetness of Iman only occurs to that person when they become oblivious to everything else and they lose themselves exclusively in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something which we have to do. If not for beginners, we have to begin this exercise. Maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes every day. Try to disconnect ourselves, become unaware of everything else around us. Unplug ourselves and plug ourselves only to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what our ulama used to do. They were deep in zikr. This is their legacy. Very, very deep. They used to make lots of zikr. Lot of zikr. And it's a big tragedy today. The Nardini Madaris and Darul Ulooms and Islamic institutes, you know, Islamic educational institutions, our students, our teachers, we view zikr as something that's completely optional. Something that's completely nafil. Maybe juristically it is something nafil. It is, yes, we'll say that it is nafil. But for us, we need to view it as something which is very essential for my spirituality. Our ulama, they were actually awliyaullah. That's another word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used in Quran. Another haqiqat, another reality, another aspect of the reality. That they were friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They knew that you have to make dhikri kaseer. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, udhkurullaha dhikran kaseera. That you must remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. They were people, this was their real shan. Hazrat Shaykh Muhammad Zakri rahmatullah, he's written in one of his books that the talib-e ilm, or the seeker of knowledge, who does not get the noor of nisbat in his period of studies, he is not a true talib-e ilm at all, let alone the ulama that are walking around. So that student of knowledge who doesn't get this nisbat, this deep relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that he feels him in his salah, such that he is able to make zikr for a long period of time, that student of knowledge, he's not a true talib-e ilm. Because what else was the purpose of talib-e ilm? What else was the purpose of seeking this knowledge? Or in fact, what was one of the greatest purposes of talib-e ilm? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran? A beautiful verse that kunu rabbaniyina bima kuntum tu'allimun al-kitab wa bima kuntum tadrisun. What does this verse mean? Kunu rabbaniyin. In Urdu, this means that Allah wale banja. Become a person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how? Because of your ta'lim and ta'allum. Kuntum tu'allimun al-kitab. Because of your learning knowledge, acquiring knowledge, seeking knowledge, and also because of teaching knowledge. This interaction, this receiving and learning, this dars and tadris, this instructing and imparting, this learning and acquiring, because of all of this, become people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become those people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the real legacy of our ulama, that they were people who used to get this, they used to spend extensive time at the feet of mashayikh trying to get this knowledge, trying to become the Allah wala. Because they knew that their kubuliyat will come from their zikr, from their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will come from that pure heart, from that qalb-e saleem, from that pure ikhlas, true sincerity. Their vilayat, their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was their asal, that was their backbone, that was their basis, that was their reality. Whether it be Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, whether it be Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, whether it be Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, whether it be Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah alayhi, all of these people, they were giants of our ummah, giants in terms of their ilm, but more so giants in terms of their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giants in terms of their vilayat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their giants in terms of their zikr with Allah, zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People used to make lots of zikr, feeling the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to become such people, become such people who give ourselves the ruhani power, that spiritual strength. That's what these akabir, that's what these ulama and salaf salihin, they had. They had this zikr-e-kaseer, and they used to go learn this zikr-e-kaseer from their mashayikh. Teach us the zikr-e-kaseer. What is the zikr? How can we purify ourselves? So we should realize this now as students of knowledge, that if we want to follow in the footsteps of our akabir, we want to follow the footsteps in the nabi'in, the salihin, the siddiqin of this ummah, then we must use these needs. We must follow in their footsteps. We must become people who acquire knowledge, and we must become people of zikr. Must attach ourselves to those people who will help us gain this tazkiyah, help us learn this science of tazkiyah, who can help us in this process of purifying ourselves. We actually need this zikr desperately to purify ourselves of our sins, to prevent us from being angry with our fellow students, to prevent us from having that conceit, that vanity, to prevent us from backbiting our fellow students, to help us control our gaze when we go out into the marketplace, when we go back into the city. It's the need of today's talib ilm to do a decent amount of zikr every day. If a person is unable to do his tazkiyah, he should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Ya Allah, you are the true muzakki, you are the one who truly purifies. So if you do not hook me, so Ya Allah, I ask you that you hook me up with those people who can purify me. I beg you to take me out of the state of sin. I beg me to throw me the rope so that I may grab onto that rope. Or rather, I beg you, Ya Allah, to give me the tawfiq to grab onto the many ropes that are already out there. And I'll just conclude with this one last ayah, ajeeb ayah of Quran. Listen to this ayah very carefully. Quran Azim al-Shan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that wala tuti', that do not listen, do not follow man, that person, aghfalna qalbahu an dhikrina, that do not listen, do not follow that person whose heart, whose qalb, whose spiritual heart we have made empty of our zikr. Allahu Akbar Kabir. That do not even listen to that person whose heart we have made empty of our remembrance. So if we wish that when we graduate, or when we have ilm of deen and we want to become a model for our society, we want to help other people, we want to bring other people from darkness into light, but if our own hearts are empty of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a fatwa to the people, that don't follow this person. Wala tute, do not follow this person. Man aghfalna kalbahu an zikrina, that do not follow this person because his heart we have made empty, devoid of our remembrance. Another sign in this ayah, Allah's Mother is showing that where you make zikr, the zikr has to be in your qalb, it has to be in your heart. This ayah is teaching us that the seat or the function or the place where zikr is made is the qalb. There are so many other places where Allah has linked the zikr with qalb. Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. Know that in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to qalb, your spiritual heart will find rest. All of these things are pointing towards this inner zikr. Inner zikr. رَجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تُجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That the people who are engaged in commerce and trade, but their hearts are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it can't be their tongue. Because if they're engaged in zikr, if they're engaged in tijarat, if they're engaged in commerce, then they're using their tongue for bargaining, for buying, for selling. So there must be something else that is doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the qalb. So unless we practice in our heart, we make zikr in our heart, we work on our heart, we make our heart remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until we do that, we will not taste the pleasure of iman. We will not feel the pleasure of feeling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qurb. We will not feel the pleasure, and we won't be able to take full advantage of that ilm which we are getting. And on the other hand, if you're close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have that zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you ilm from His own self. This is what we call in our tradition as waridat ilmiya. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up to you. He will open up the secrets of ilm to you. There's nothing secret or magical about this, no. It's just that He will give you an insight into that knowledge of deen. He will give you that insight into Quran. He will give you that insight into hadith. Things that may seem contradictory to others, you will see how they can fit and match with each other. Those problems or masail that might have seemed difficult before, you will see how they fit and match. And as one of our big alim have said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the makruhat al-sharia or makruhat al-tabi'ya. That those things that are even slightly disliked by the sharia, those things which are even slightly disliked by the sharia, they will become slightly disliked by you. Because you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of ilm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of zikr. These are the two wings. If we can get them, we can fly, we can soar high in our deen. So we end with this dua, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of ilm, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of zikr, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of tazkiya, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who can revive the lost signs, who can purify ourselves, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true ilm, that new which permeates our heart, which leads our heart towards practice, which leads our heart towards ikhlas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this ilm a means to come close to Him, and make this ilm a means to reform ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this ilm a way to purify ourselves and to become amongst the people of Allah, the Rabbaniyun, so that we can become means who are worthy of carrying out this knowledge and this torch to others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this intention from us. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll end with dua. Raise your hands and make dua. Subhana rabbil al-wahhab. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا الله يا رب كريم your kind merciful رب يا رب كريم your أرحم الراحمين يا الله your خالق your المالك your creator your cherisher your sustainer يا رب كريم يا الله from the moment we were born يا الله to this very day يا رب كريم يا الله you have been giving us everything which we needed. You have been giving us so many things which we don't even need. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, but we have wronged ourselves. Ya Rabbi Kareem, in our relationship to You, Ya Allah, we have been so disloyal to you, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Rabbi, been so disobedient to you, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have committed the most vulgar of all sins, we have committed the most despicable of all sins, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, when we think about our sins, we are so ashamed of ourselves, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, when we think about those sins, when we think about our disobediences, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we are so scared of ourselves, we are so fearful of our state, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, when we look at your might, and we look at your azmat, and we reflect on your majesty and your maqam, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we feel scared of our anjam, we feel scared of what will happen to us, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have no standing before you, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are sinning members of this ummah, but Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are also Arhamur Rahimeen, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have seen in this dunya, then when a child has soaked himself in dirt, when a child is completely filthy and dirty, he comes to his mother, the mother, she looks at him, and she then takes him and washes him, and she purifies him, and she gives him new clothes to put on, and she applies fragrance on him, and she hugs him, she embraces him, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, your beloved Sayyidina Rasulullah has mentioned, has told us that you, Ya Allah, that your love is more than 70 times the love of a mother, Ya Rabbi Kareem, 70 times, Ya Allah, you love us more than our own mothers, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, out of your love to us, out of your mercy, out of your rahmah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you tonight, we ask you today, Ya Rabbi Kareem, to forgive us, Ya Rabbi, Ya Allah, to forgive us for each and every sin which we have done, to forgive us for each and every disobedience, to forgive us for each and every disloyalty, forgive us, Ya Allah, for the most vulgar of all sins which we have committed, for all the sins which we have committed, those sins which we have committed at night, those sins which we have committed in the day, Ya Rabbi Kareem, forgive us for those sins which we remember, and Ya Allah, forgive us for those sins, now so many sins, Ya Allah, we have committed, which we don't even remember, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, wipe away those sins, wipe away those memories of sins, wipe away those feelings of sins, wipe away the pleasures of sins, wipe away those emotions of sins, wipe away anything and everything which reminds us of those sins, wipe us those things which take us towards those sins, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us such that we can stay away from sins, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, it's very difficult for us, Ya Allah, to safeguard ourselves from sins, but for you, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, it's so easy for you, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we pledge ourselves to you, we give ourselves over to you, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we hand ourselves over to you, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make it easy for us to leave sins, Ya Allah, make it easy for us to leave sins, make it easy for us to leave each and every last drop of sin, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we give ourselves to you, we pledge our life to you, we pledge our days to you, we pledge our nights to you, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, accept us in your protection, accept us in your guidance, accept us in your hifaza, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, become our guide, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, take us out from misguidance towards guidance, Ya Rabbi Kareem, take us out from ignorance towards true ilm, take us out from heedlessness and ghafla towards remembrance and zikr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, take us out from all the darknesses towards, Ya Allah, towards the Noor, towards light. Ya Allah, take us out from all the zulamat towards your love, Ya Allah. Take us out, Ya Allah, Rabbi Kareem, from all the impermissible loves of this dunya towards your love, towards the true love, towards the only real love, which is your love, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us your true lovers, your true intense deep lovers, and Ya Allah, make us such that we love others for the sake of you. Ya Allah, make us such that we love all those loves which are permissible in the Sharia, but we love them only and only for your sake, only and only in your name, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, wipe away the effects of sins. Ya Allah, it's only because of sins that we are not able to come close to you, that we don't feel that love in our heart, that we don't feel that closeness, that warmth in our our heart. We feel that emptiness in our heart. We feel that skepticism in our heart. Ya Allah, it's only because of our sins. Ya Allah, we admit to you. Ya Allah, we are guilty. Ya Allah, because we have seen in the dunya that when a person admits of their guilt, Ya Allah, other people shower them with affection, shower them with compassion. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we also, Ya Allah, admit of our guilt, we also admit of our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, have mercy on us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, shower us with your softness, shower us with your compassion, shower us, Ya Allah, Rabbi Kareem, with your rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, forgive us, Ya Allah, and wipe away the effects of sins. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us conviction and yakin in our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us come close to you. Ya Allah, make us mistake of that ayah where you have said فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that you are near to us. Ya Allah, we also want to feel that qurb. We also want to feel that nearness. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept for this path of qurb. Accept us for this path of muhabba. Accept us for this path of mahbubiya. Accept us for this path of tazkiya. Accept for this path of purifying our hearts, for purifying our souls, of purifying our thoughts, of purifying each and everything, and making it according to your pleasure. Making it according to such that becomes pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us such that we become pleasing to you, from the tips of our hairs to the soles of our feet. Ya Allah, make us such that we become pleasing to you. Ya Allah, we desire nothing else in this world. We have no other intention, no other goal, no other purpose, except that, Ya Allah, we want to become pleasing to you. Except that, Ya Allah, we want to become pleasing in your eyes. Except that, Ya Allah, we want to make you happy. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept this intention from us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us sincerity in all our a'mal, in all our ilm. Ya Allah, grant us knowledge which is beneficial. Grant us amal on our knowledge. And Ya Allah, grant us ikhlas in our ilm and in our amal. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us istiqama on our intentions. Grant us steadfastness and perseverance on our intentions. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, purify our hearts. Ya Allah, revive our dead hearts. Ya Muqallibul Qulub, Sabbit Qulubana ala Deenik. Ya Allah, you're the changer of hearts. Ya Allah, change our dead hearts. Ya Allah, when will that day come when our hearts will be able to feel your love? When will that day come when we'll be able to feel our salah? When we'll be able to feel you in our sajda? Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are the true Muzakki Hakiki. Ya Allah, purify our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, whatever pious intentions we have in our hearts, Ya Allah, accept those intentions from us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, if any of us is facing any problems or difficulties in our worldly life, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, remove those worldly difficulties, remove those preoccupations. And Ya Allah, if it's only because of our susti that we haven't been able to come close to you, then Ya Allah, we ask you to remove that susti, remove that laziness from us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us for this path. Abbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.